Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. After nearly 2 years of construction, ribbon-cutting ceremonies were held this morning to mark the completion and the opening of the new $21 million Prairie Lakes Wellness Center. Mayor Steve Thorson says the 104,000-square-foot workout facility is a game-changer for Watertown based on comments he heard at an open house over the weekend.
You know, I was here Saturday and Sunday and had a chance to visit with, seemed like thousands of people that came through here, but everyone just was so amazed at how it turned out. The comments that I heard all the time was, you didn't feel like you're even in Watertown. It's something extremely special.
Prairie Lakes is spending $2.2 million to put their name on the building. Their president and CEO is Jill Fuller.
You know, part of our mission is to improve the health of the community, and health really starts with things like lifestyle and behaviors and things that we don't necessarily control in the four walls of the hospital. So to see a facility that's totally dedicated to improving the lifestyle of our community means a lot to us in terms of our overall mission.
John Small is the executive director of the center. He says they moved a lot of workout equipment from the now-closed Rec Center into the new building last week, and he says it went better than expected.
We figured it'd be about a 3-day move, and we got it done in 2. Excellent people from the city, employees helped, as well as we hired some people, and they just did a great job moving the big stuff. So we still have a lot of stuff to move over, but the things that we needed right away, we're good.
The Prairie Lakes Wellness Center is open to members from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. weekdays, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturdays, and 10 to 7 on Sundays. South Dakota Congresswoman Kristi Noem held a town hall meeting Saturday morning in a packed Watertown Police Department community room. Since President Trump was sworn into office, some members of Congress have seen their own town hall meetings become uncivil with a lot of shouting. But that was not the case on Saturday, and Noem says it was important to hold this meeting to hear from South Dakotans.
Well, you know, I've always done town halls, so this is kind of normal operations for me. And we've got good people in the state of South Dakota. I believe we can disagree and still have good dialogue, and we had that here today. I know that we aren't always going to agree on every single policy, but here in South Dakota, we can have a civil conversation and do that. The worst thing that happened when they were pushing Obama through is that the Democrats and the Obama administration did not interact with people. They didn't have town halls. They didn't talk to folks. And I think when you have these kind of discussions, you can get new ideas.
Much of the dialogue at the town hall meeting focused on the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. There were other questions about the future of the Essential Air Service program, cuts to farm programs, and the future of Social Security and Medicare.
Well, Medicare and Social Security are different because people have paid into those, and they want to know that those programs are going to be around when they retire. The problem we have with those programs is that we've got a lot more people retiring and signing up for the program than we have workers paying into them anymore, and healthcare costs escalating. Today, one of the facts I think that surprised people is the average person pays in $110,000 over their lifetime into Medicare. They take out over $400,000 in benefit back out in health care that they receive. So you can see how a program can get upside down pretty quickly under those kind of circumstances.
Noem told the audience she's willing to hold more town hall meetings across South Dakota as her schedule permits. The news last week that JCPenney stores in 4 South Dakota cities are closing is the latest in a string of major changes in retailing. Penny stores will be closing this year in Yankton, Pier, Mitchell, and Watertown, and they join other closings like Gordman's and Vanity. South Dakota State Retailers Association Executive Director Sean Lyons says national chains are all facing some strong challenges.
You look at a large national retailer like JCPenney pulling out of the 4 communities I think they announced here in South Dakota and 138, I believe it is, around the country. That certainly you know, gives all of us a pause for some concern, but I think it goes back to the competition in the marketplace. I think, you know, what we're seeing in terms of e-commerce and competition there.
Lyons says they are seeing some growth among the small independent retailers across South Dakota.
Our majority of membership comes from the small independent retailers throughout South Dakota, and you're seeing a lot of growth continuing to happen in communities like Yankton and Sioux Falls and Pierre and elsewhere around the state, and even in some of the smaller communities. As I look at our new membership coming in this year, it's coming largely from the independents, and I think that's a positive sign that those businesses still believe in their communities and still see a role in what they can provide to the consumer.
Lyons says it'll be critical for Congress to close the loopholes that allow online retailers to avoid paying state sales taxes. Authorities found the body over the weekend of a missing duck hunter in eastern South Dakota 3 months after his boat capsized. Brookings County Emergency Management confirms the body of 28-year-old Thomas Hill was recovered Saturday afternoon. A resident flying over Brush Lake in a helicopter spotted Hill's body. Authorities were notified, and the body was found in the lake near Arlington. The South Dakota Supreme Court has dealt a blow to South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks, ruling the agency cannot allow people access to floodwaters or ice that covers private property without legislative approval. GF&P had argued that all water was legally accessible to the public if it could be reached without trespassing on private land. And hunters and anglers had argued that all waters in the state should be accessible to the public. The decision stems from a lawsuit by Day County landowners and a class action against people who'd been accessing a couple of sloughs. The sloughs grew in the 1990s after heavy rain and snow, and in 2001, the public began using them for recreation, even though they were on private property. An appeals court has refused to stop the imminent flow of oil through the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit on Saturday denied a request from the Standing Rock and Cheyenne River Sioux tribes for an emergency order. That means the pipeline to move North Dakota oil to Illinois could be operating as early as today. The Standing Rock and Cheyenne River Sioux tribes have been trying to stop that from happening while their legal challenge against the pipeline proceeds. The $3.8 billion pipeline moves North Dakota oil to Illinois, but tribes fear that it could harm their water supply. And a federal grant will provide bulletproof vests for emergency responders in 8 southeast South Dakota counties. Minnehaha County Emergency Manager Lynn DeYoung says the world is changing and there are different emerging threats. Emergency responders have dealt with a couple of high-profile shooting cases in the area in recent years. In 2015, emergency responders were at Sioux Steel in Lenox, where there was a fatal workplace shooting. That same year, a Harrisburg High School student was arrested after shooting his principal. The counties receiving the bulletproof vests through a Homeland Security grant are Minnehaha, Lincoln, Union, Clay, McCook, Turner, Moody, and Lake. News anytime on our homepage, gowatertown.net. From the KWAT Newsroom, I'm Mike Tanner.